honest, Lada, yesterday we had a nice day yesterday, but during one of our conversations, you let me into a little secret of yours about what you used to do. And that was, I actually got thinking, and that would be of tremendous value of something that I'm trying to get answers to. I'm involved in a scuba diving project with a veterans of the United Kingdom, an organisation known as BLESMA, British Limbless Ex-Service Men's Association. And one of the questions that the instructors that I work with and the team that's around the scuba diving is actually the impact. We use the term rehabilitation. What I'm trying to find out is, okay, we deal with the physical effects of scuba diving whenever we take guys diving, but we're trying to look at the psychological effects, and it's very hard to gauge. We're diving instructors, we've got other jobs, but we don't work in the world of psychology. So is there anything that you could provide for me to sort of enlighten that side of our life?
Yeah, I would start from the term rehabilitation. I would say it's not just a physical rehabilitation of things that you're doing. There is always that physical part, of course, and the time when you're actually there working with the people. But there is also psychological effect over there. Because working with people, that means you empowering people. You giving them the opportunity to show themselves and others that they can do something, actually. Something that has meanings for them, something that they can enjoy doing that. At the same time, they get the opportunity to show others that they can do it. So from the psychological part of the view, I would say it's giving them the space to be creative, to show what they can do, actually.
Okay, what that sort of is leading me onto, a couple of years ago I did a course which was talking about being inclusive. Now, whenever I first started moving into the area of teaching people with disabilities how to dive, I joined an organisation thinking that that was the right way to go. And this course sort of said to me, right, you shouldn't really be going down a route of specialist courses for people with disabilities or have missing limbs. And it's more a case of stick to the main areas and just teach and give out the main qualifications that anybody else in the world would be open to.
Mm-hmm.
What's your, do you agree with that sort of line of thinking?
I would say in one aspect I do agree, in another I don't. It all depends what type of, let's say, disabilities. I know it's not a good term all the time to use it, but what type of disabilities the person that's next to you have. Because sometimes you need to provide information to another person what exactly are the capabilities that you are guaranteeing that person knows about.
Okay.
And but at the same time, they are human beings. They're supposed to be treated equal. So yes, we all have needs, we all have our, let's say, dreams and hopes. So if, for example, I decide to go to learn something new, scuba diving, for example. I'm at the beginner, and I'm at the beginning, at the start, like any other person. It only depends the way how do I learn something.
Okay. Yes, that's the sort of, it's the sort of the way that our instructor base is working at the moment. I have had to give out one qualification where the training organisation that I use for diving, which is the PADI standards, Professional Association of Diving Instructors, they have a very strict set of standards and its skill development phase. We go through that slowly, and we make sure that each student gets and reaches and understands and is comfortable with each skill before we move to the next, because it is a very progressive training system. Whenever I came up against a guy, and he couldn't actually complete the rest of his diving due to an injury that he had sustained, which meant that he couldn't go to a depth. So therefore, his medical said that he can go in the swimming pool. So we did the swimming pool training,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't take him on a diving trip to the Red Sea because we were going to depth, different depths. And the scuba the doctor that signed off his medical had stated that it was shallow water only, or a swimming pool. I then used a different organisation, the International Association of Handicapped Divers, to certify that diver for the dive in a swimming pool. Now, whenever I look back on that, I think, yes, I give him the sense of he achieved something. But if that guy walks into a dive centre or a dive shop, it is a legitimate card, it's a legitimate diving organisation. I'm sort of not sitting comfortable with the fact that he'll hand over and say, I'm a qualified diver in a swimming pool. It's opening the door for some criticism or...
Yeah, it is, because there's always a space for criticism. The thing is that when you're teaching someone about new skills, it's always important, from my perspective, to teach him about possibilities, but also about personal limitations. Like, if somebody says to me, you can fly now, I need to be responsible and say, no, I can't. So that's my limitation, and I need to be aware of that limitation. Or to say, yes, I can do it. I think I can do it. I want to try it. And, for example, going to that shop and saying, yes, I'm legitimate, I can go and dive. But it's my responsibility to know what exactly I can do. So I wouldn't say just it's instructions responsibility. I think instruction is there to guide me. What can I do? What's the area I'm comfortable with? What staff are around me that I can use to help myself to improve my skills, let's say, like that. So I would say, yeah, it's open to criticism, but I think it's important for the people, to anybody, not just for disabled people or somebody from that group, to know the limitations and the possibilities, because all of us, we do have some kind of limitations. It only depends, are they visible or not.
Okay, thank you. Yes, that absolutely makes sense. And the other side of it is the guys that go on and get the qualification. And Blesma spend an awful lot of money supporting and sponsoring and underwriting, not just scuba diving, but they do an awful lot of other sports activities or adventure activities, like sailing, skiing, parachute jumping even. So they do cover a wide variety of rehabilitation events. On that side of the psychology side, there's the obvious effect that you have with an individual whenever they qualify, because one of the aspects that I've always believed in and I still believe in is that whenever you hand over a qualification, if it's a mainstream qualification, people have that feeling of I've achieved, I'm successful, and hopefully that feeling of success will breed further success and a drive to go and do something else. Do you have a thought on that, or?
I would say it's very important to get the qualifications, because that means for each of us means achieved a goal. Even if it's a small step forward, it's still a goal. So if I can do this step, then I can climb the next step. And it's just climbing and climbing in life. So when you go back in the childhood, we used to get all the papers with certificates saying you did this, you did that, well done. I know that I still have mine, because that was something that was important for me that moment, because that meant to me that I can go further, I can reach another goal, it's higher.
Yeah.
So So I would say it's important, not
yeah.
just in the aspect of life, of the area that I'm getting a qualification. It's important on the psychological side, because that means for me that if I can do that, I can do the next dream. Next dream can come true.
Okay. Yeah. That's reminding me of, and that's why I'm smiling, of the original letter that I wrote off to Blesma, telling them the plan. I had on it a lot of terms, and terms that you see a lot associated with events, and it's not just for rehabilitation, but for children or working in a business. It's the words like teamwork, discipline, determination. It's very easy to write those words down. What I really would like to do is put a measurement beside that. Do you have any advice on how someone with limited training in that area like me would be able to measure? Yeah, we understand what teamwork is, and we understand what those other attributes that I've just mentioned are. What do you say, think?
Yeah, we always, when we have the courses, when we do in practice, we always talk about teamwork and about the terms that actually it's very hard to measure. I would say it's a personal perspective. Like, if I feel better in the group, I need a team around me to support me to achieve my goal. So how can you measure that? It's very hard to answer, I would say. There are some scales, like scientific scales, but I would say it depends from what's inside the person. And the great achievement for me, it's the small steps. It's not a big step when I say it, it's a small step when I'm working with kids, when I'm working with grown-ups. Like now, I'm involved with rehabilitation on the phonetic side of the story. So just that moment, seeing somebody turn their head on the direction when there is a sound, it means the world to me. And when you say the person that he actually recognized where the sound is coming from, it means the world to them too, because they are saying, I couldn't do that before, now I can. Yes, they had a support, but it's not just support from my side as a rehabilitation.
Right.
It's also support of everybody around that person. So it is a teamwork, always it's a teamwork, because we cannot be completely isolated from our area, from people that are around us, family, friends, people that are helping us in rehabilitation job or somewhere else. All of us coming together and trying to build up the small steps to reach that goal. And I would say in any job, especially dealing with people, it's very important that it's not the only direct instructor giving the support. It's also the environment, family, friends.
Yes. And one of the reasons our training activity or rehabilitation activity is it's usually a large group, and it's we try and keep the same team of instructors, but what we're also trying to do is develop the instructor base within the organisation, so that actually the whole idea of Blesma is that Blesma members train Blesma members and to have that sort of impact. One of the other issues I've got, I'm looking at the consequences of, we take a member, a girl or a guy, to the Red Sea for a week. We train them. They're away having what everyone perceives as a great time, but actually they're getting worked quite hard. But the impact that it's having on their family, because often the family is the side that's missed, and we're now looking at, and it came from a comment that one of the members made, that his wife gets a break for a week,
mm-hmm.
And another comment that actually it puts this guy in his well-being, and he's in a good mood when he comes home. He doesn't want to sit and watch the TV anymore. He wants to go and do stuff. And his wife made the comment, oh, she's got her marriage back. So what would you say there?
From that aspect, yes, it's not just empowering that person, because being in the same environment all the time, like one person inside the closest family members, it's very hard to be that part of the family, because the family members, they're trying to give their life to help that person. And seeing somebody day by day, you just lose focus, and let's say in one way touch with other people, because you're focusing on that person that really needs your help. And I would say just going away for a couple of days gives back the space to the family members so they can discover themselves again and to feel, for my part, I would say I would feel more proud that I'm actually doing that, more satisfied I'm actually doing that, because being away from that just for a couple of days gives me a time to relax and not to have that as a burden on my shoulders. And when the person comes back, I'm again a bubbly person, maybe with some new ideas, and we can grow up together or just reach new goals and do teamwork. It's not just me helping someone, or if I come back, it's not just me being over there sitting and waiting for help. So it's both sides.
Right.
I would say it's benefiting for both sides.
Okay. Another aspect that I would like to bring in, and I've been speaking to the activities manager at LESMA, and we're looking at how can we better support the members. For example, if we do see a member that maybe is a little bit more, he needs help from other sources, how can we, not being trained sort of, and without going behind their back, so we're sort of not being disloyal to them,
mm-hmm.
in any way. What way could we approach that?
Well, I think that's a tricky question, because my opinion is that you cannot, let's say, help someone if that person doesn't want that help. Like, you can provide everything on the table. If that person doesn't want to eat at that point, it's useful. So for me, it's giving the perspective that yes, there is another way. Yes, there is someone out there that can help you. So I see, in those situations, I see myself as a channel to communicate,
right.
to connect the right, let's say, roles in the society or roles inside the families. Because I can say, yes, you need help, but then the person is like, yeah, but you don't know me.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. You don't know me, yes, you're spending with me, let's say, 3 hours, 5 hours, 12 hours a day, but you still don't know what's inside me.
Right.
So it's just giving another perspective to say, this is available, what do you think, can that help you? So I would say that would be an approach that I would be using.
Okay. Now, it's more for the team that we have that go away. We're obviously very aware of the safety that's needed with scuba diving, which makes us look a lot closer at people. Underwater, that's fine. We know what we're looking for. But on the surface, it's more, how is there any big indicators that would say that maybe somebody needs a little bit more time spent with, a little bit more friendship shown or interaction with?
I would say from my experience, especially with kids, they will reach by themselves for help. Maybe not in a way that they will knock on the door, or maybe not in a way that they will say, I need your advice, I need your approach. Maybe it would be completely different. Like I remember one time in summer camp, we had a boy, he was very problematic, doing lots of things like, I don't want to go to the workshops, I don't need that, I'm old enough to take care of myself. But at the same time, he was taking care of others. And after 2 or 3 days, we noticed that he's changing his behavior. And the change of behavior wasn't, yes, I want to do this all the time, I want to be a naughty boy all the time. It's like, no, don't touch the youngest, I'm here. I'm here to protect them. So that was an indicator. But as I said, you cannot, my opinion is that you cannot do a lot if that person doesn't want to help, yeah. Not help. And one of the scenes I will never forget is the moment that he asked for help. It wasn't, I need help. It was, I don't need you. And he was just standing in front of me saying, I don't need you, I don't need you. I don't need you because of this, that, and that. He had his reasons. And that was, for me, a sign that I need to talk with him. And then just get in a conversation. And he said his personal side of the stories, and then he opened up. But the thing is, he said, I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I can do it on my own. But actually, that was the window.
Okay.
Usually, he said that people just look at him and said, okay, if you don't need me, I'm not here. Bye.
Right.
And he said that was the point, that he needed somebody to stay and say, okay, if you don't need me, but I'm here. Just in case. And that was for me something that it did affect my life later on a lot.
Okay. I've got one more question for you. You're not going to thank me for it because
okay.
you brought something up yesterday which I'm still thinking about, and I'm going off to watch it whenever I've got a couple of hours spare. You mentioned that one of your friends who is a professor sent you off to what, and he commented on watch The Matrix. Can you just enlighten me what he was actually on about?
Yeah, we had a conversation about getting support from other side, not only from the close family or not only from the social worker. And he was like, can you think about the name of the film that you have been watching and that you really enjoyed? And we said Matrix. I said, okay. So assignment for you is to go back home and watch The Matrix again, but from a different perspective. I said, it's only one perspective to watch The Matrix. It's, everybody knows it. And he said, no, look at it from the social point. Like, what's over there that you can highlight from that perspective? Just forget about technology, just forget about those things. What exactly you can see in the relationships between people inside the movie. So I went back home, I watched The Matrix again, and that was the time I actually noticed that there is a social point in that movie. The point is that one of my points was that maybe it's a reality, maybe it's not. So we are going in that conversation. It's a thing that in the boat world, he needed help. He couldn't do it by himself. Neo couldn't be by himself in the real world or in the imaginary. He needed that support. And that's, I think, important message for all of us. We can't do things on our own. We need someone. Maybe that's not the person that would say, I'm here to help you. Maybe it's someone just watching on the side and having a smiley face in the corner while you're achieving your goal.
Okay. Slada, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was very enlightening for me. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.